Hey everyone, it's Chris. Welcome to episode 17 of the Bonner Breakdown. We have Sandy Nicholson with Inland Northwest for Sustainable Development and her counterpart in their podcast, Educated Debauchery, Karita Janae Wolf. With that, we have a great long conversation today. You're going to enjoy it. We talk about a bunch of the off-color topics that you're never supposed to talk about in public. So we do that today. So enjoy that. And we talk about all of the needs and the things that are happening right now concerning the coronavirus. And so with that, I want to jump directly into the good report and just say, listen, I want to say cheers to a few companies around here who are providing lunches for kids who normally would get lunch at school, who, you know, we don't know necessarily what everyone's situation is, but what they said is that if there's a kid in need and they're hungry and they want to get some food while parents are unemployed, while people, the schools are closed, come on in. And that's Uptown Bagel Company. That was the first one I saw. And then I saw Pack River Store. And then this morning I saw Arlo's Ristorante as well. Now there may be more out there. If you know of other restaurants and places that are doing some amazing things to serve the community right now, will you put it in the comment section? We want to give them a shout out as well. So, but we just say cheers to you, right? Restaurants that are doing a great job. Thank you so much. Cheers to you. And here's to the good report. Raise your cup, your mug, whatever you've got. And I want you to just raise it up and say ting, right? Cheers. Here we go. Tastes good when we do it together. All right. With that, I do want to thank Ting, our sponsor here with crazy fast fiber internet. You know, one of the things that's nice about Ting is I do a lot of phone conferencing and Zoom and teleconferencing via Skype and GoToMeetings. And I use like Uber conference yesterday. Like I use a bunch of them. And what's really nice is I never have to worry about lag. I never have to worry about speed on my end, or quality of image or quality of audio. The working from home or from your business with Ting makes life very, very easy. And it makes those types of events very, very smooth. So with that, we just want to say thank you to Ting. You can go to ting.com/sandpoint. If you don't have Ting yet, type in your address there. It'll tell you if Ting's in your area or not. If not, pre-register. You'll save $200 off of the installation when it shows up in your neck of the woods, which they're planning on continuing to grow their footprint here in the area. I also want to say thank you to Bonner Community Housing Agency. We're doing some housing episodes dealing specifically with housing. BCHA has done a great job hosting not only the location for this podcast, but they've done a great job of making sure that we have everything that we need as we move forward in the podcast itself. So thank you to BCHA. Thank you to Ting, our sponsors. With that, we are going to jump right in to episode 17. Well, thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having
us. It's good to have you, Sandy. Karita, yeah. Glad you're with us.
Yes.
We have we've been going. I think you're episode 17. So we are doing weekly episodes here and trying to get people in and just have
nice
conversations.
We're 17.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good number.
Yeah,
it's a good number. we've got a real goal for conversation, sure, developing community, and celebrating. Right? We want to celebrate the good. We want to celebrate all the things that are worth celebrating. And right now, we're in the midst of the coronavirus and all of the craziness,
yes,
going on with that. So I did disinfect the studio prior to you coming.
Perfect.
Just because I want to be respectful of where everybody's at.
That is nice of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, there shouldn't be any dust on anything. So. We both started our shows almost identically at the same time.
Yeah,
and
we did.
I love to get to know you two a little bit better and let our viewers get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
We want to champion the great things that you guys are doing. And so it's awesome to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. So, Sandy, the floor is yours. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am a member of the community for about 27 years in the Sandpoint area. And I grew up in San Jose, California, and my parents moved up here when I was 13. They moved up to Heron, Montana.
Okay.
They moved from the middle of the city to a field, a meadow. And they were really the original You know, the description that I've heard of the Redoubt movement, they were the original, you know, escape to God's country, get away from the government before there was a name for it.
Yeah.
That was us back in the day. And well, then
they used to be called hippies.
It used to be called punk rock when I was growing up. That was
like
run away from the government. Punk rock.
Yep. I was part of that. And, then as an adult, I've lived over here. So I'm from San Jose, I'm from Heron, and I'm from Sandpoint.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's great. So I've been here my whole adult life. And I have 4 kids of my own.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I'm in a combined family with, he has 4 kids.
Wow.
Our oldest 4 are on their own. Actually, our oldest 5 are out on their own now.
Oh, so we that's just awesome. Have the 3 that's great.
Youngest at home.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I had a career in human resources up to about a year and a few months ago. And then I stepped away from that to try and get some formal education under my belt.
Good.
I started as I jumped out of childhood into adulthood and started a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so so now I'm taking some time to get some education under my belt. That's
awesome.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
That's great. And you're currently running, give me the correct name, Inland Northwest.
For sustainable development.
For sustainable development.
Yeah.
Okay. I always forget the word for.
Yeah.
So Inland Northwest for sustainable development. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it began, you know, right around the same time that Bonner Breakdown began last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a few friends of mine. We were out at their place having a bonfire. And I had been working in local government before I stepped away. And we were seeing our local governments kind of going at it against each other.
Right.
And, and my studies had my studying, also simultaneous, my studying had been around sustainable development and around strategic communications in sustainable development.
Mm.
And it was, I mean, to be honest, it was a bit frustrating to see our government, because how are we going to move forward in what my hope for my kids' future here in this community to be really sustainable and to move forward together and working together in a good way if we can't even get along as a small town, you know? It was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, totally.
And so we started as, my friend and I said, you know what, let's use media the same way media is being used, with an agenda. Let's use it with an agenda for good. And, and so that's how we launched, and we launched covering the elections, and we gave a platform for candidates to really just share, and then that also helps constituents to learn
totally
what do I want in my elected official.
That's great.
What do I want out of this, and it helps them to really get engaged as well. So that's how we started.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and then we have Karita with us. Karita,
hi everybody.
It's good to have you. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit of your history and kind of background and where you're from and all that business.
So I moved here in 2008 from San Francisco. I'm a California girl. It's okay, people. I say that with a disclaimer every
time. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Yes, I moved here in 2008. And really, at that time, when I moved up here, was just think there was a lot going on in California. I wanted to get away to God's country and continue to homeschool my kids and teach them skills that weren't really conducive for living in California at the time. There was just a lot going on.
Yeah.
We had suffered a lot of fires that year, and there was just a lot going on. And so we moved up here and lived up in Elmira for a little bit.
Okay.
And moved into Sandpoint proper in 2014.
Okay.
And remarried. I have 4 kids of my own and then 2 bonus children. So
awesome.
I have 6.
Cool.
So at home, we tend to have 4 at a time.
Okay.
My older, I have 1 older in Sacramento.
Okay.
1 at school in Utah. And then 1 who lives locally north in Bonner's Ferry.
Okay.
Older kids. And so the rest are at home. And I was just really feeling like Sandy and I were kind of on the same track. Her idea around being frustrated with the government and the communication style and things that kind of go on in our community, I experienced on a different level. And so
Like which kind of level? Like what? Because you're
having. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say, because you maybe give some more context around your husband.
Sure.
Right.
So my husband is a first responder in town. He works for Selkirk Fire Department.
Great. Yeah.
Currently, he's out at the not Kokalala. I always want to say Kokalala, Kerrywood Station.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's out there, and just really seeing things go on the community from that perspective, mm-hmm. and just having an opportunity to meet a lot of different people and just hear a lot of different things. I really thought, okay, I feel like the community needs to come together,
yeah.
and work together. Mm-hmm. And then also having teenage children, mm-hmm. in this town,
yeah.
can prove to be challenging.
Absolutely.
There's a mm-hmm. lot of social challenges for that age uh-huh. group. Yeah. So being able to experience and interact with parents, children, other people in the community on that level, I've learned a lot about myself, mm-hmm. and about the people in my community. And I really just feel like it's time to, it doesn't matter if the topic is bullying, or if the topic is going to the grocery store, if the topic is politics.
Sure.
It seems to me that there's a struggle with communication,
right.
communicating appropriately and properly.
Absolutely.
I can be mad at Sandy right now. That's fine. But yep. we're still going to have a conversation. We need to have a solution.
Yeah.
And so my heart is to come up with a productive, proactive way of
That's
doing
awesome.
That and meeting needs.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I know that very few people are willing to take risks in today's society in the sense of self-exposure,
sure.
right? And so when you start a podcast or you put yourself on a platform and you say, hey, I'm going to either conduct interviews, what we're doing here, or we're going to do anything in that in the media environment, mm-hmm. I had to wrestle with doing this show for a long time, because I realized, man, the minute that I put myself in this position, it just opens everything up for scrutiny. It opens everything up for
sure.
a little bit more criticism, a little bit, you know, do I like to be criticized? No.
I
like feedback? Yes. So,
yeah.
you know, I think that there's only a handful of people that are, I think, willing to step into specifically this arena. So kudos to you guys for deciding to jump in.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it is, I think it's really rewarding mm-hmm. when I get feedback from people who watched a show and going, I had no idea that's what they were thinking when they did that.
Sure.
You know, like whether it was,
exactly.
you know, I'm like, oh, okay. It's not my job to judge what they're saying across from me. I think people expect me to be a journalist. I'm not. Right. But
right,
my goal is to listen and to ask questions and to be curious and to not filter everything through my own biases too much. Right.
Okay,
so,
okay,
you know, uh-huh. try to.
Yeah,
you know,
try to.
Anyways,
that's a human
you
know, tendency.
It is. It is.
It is what it is.
And so tell me about your current kind of activities and the things that you guys are doing, because you just recently said, okay, we've got a crisis happening in Sandpoint and we need to begin to get some information out there and have some conversations. So tell us a little bit about what you guys are currently doing.
Okay. So we're working it out.
Which is awesome.
We just want to make sure that, and we told Shelby this on our mm-hmm. second, I guess, episode mm-hmm. was, you know, I think that most of us have so much information coming at
Boy,
us.
Boy, do we.
And,
yep.
and we don't quite know what that means for us specifically mm-hmm. in this community. What does it mean that the whole world is in a pandemic and that our nation is in an emergency. What does that mean for me right here in Bonner
right.
County?
That's a good question.
And
yeah.
And so we were kind of, you know, Creed and I, because we're planning on launching in April, we're in contact a lot, and we're like, you know, who do we look to? And we couldn't quite figure it out. So then we just said, well, we'll do it, you know, we'll jump on and, mm-hmm. and organize. And so that's, and what we really want to make sure is happening is that anything, any cracks, any gaps that are being missed, we want to make sure that we're capturing and
Great.
Taking care of as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and so that's what brings us kind of to you right now.
Sure,
I know
yeah.
that you have a reputation of being really great at bringing people together to, so if we, you know, we're able to find the gaps, we can work with you.
That's awesome.
And yeah. then mobilize to make yeah. sure that it's being met.
Yeah. yeah. And being able to act as a communication point, I think cool. for social media, it does have some good attributes.
It does. Absolutely. Where people yeah, can communicate
to there. Us yeah. mm-hmm. and then we can then post it, put it out there to the mayor, whatever officials that we're in constant contact with.
Yeah.
And being able to facilitate that.
That's great.
And I think that courage or vulnerability mm-hmm. you were speaking of, it is helpful in these situations, because I have the personality that I will just go straight to the mayor and say, what's going on, you know, and I know that
that's great.
Not, and I'm willing to do that for our community. And he appreciates that as well. You know, I help him to know how, like, what's going on out here and what mm-hmm. we're feeling. And, mm-hmm. And I think that knowing that what we're doing is, when we go to sleep at night, and knowing that what we're doing is really trying to bring this community together
yeah.
is what helps yeah. to be, have that courage to be vulnerable and, yeah. you know, absolutely. And that's what you're doing as well. Yeah,
trying.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is a challenge, because, you know, we've got different mindsets at work when it comes to the coronavirus.
Right.
And I would block it into three main categories. We've got fear and dread.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The impending doom mm-hmm. sense, like this could end the world mindset, you know, just driven by fear.
Right.
Then you have the I really could care less people that mm-hmm. are right. like Corona, whatever, I'll drink one, you know, like leave me alone, you know, that type of right, thing, right. you know, like they've just got this different mindset around
right,
that.
Right.
And then there's people who are, I think with the majority of people who are sitting in this place of, I want to do the right thing. I want to be cautious. I don't want to be ruled by fear, but I also want to make sure I'm being responsible.
Being aware.
Being aware and responsible, and know what to do next, and who do I trust, and what do I listen to? Because sure. this I think breaks down. prediction. Okay. Prediction moment. Mm-hmm. I think that this little, situation with the coronavirus in America shutting down for a few weeks, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we'll see 25-30% unemployment by next month.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to get really ugly.
And that's why I think it's important for us to stay connected, because you are so fantastic with the housing and, you know.
There's that. Yeah, we will.
We haven't seen the need yet yes. in our community.
And
well, we're about to.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I think is going to happen. That I think is going to be really one of the greatest benefits is that we're going to communicate differently because of need.
Right.
Right. We're going to sift through all the fluff for what's true, not just what tickles my personal like or dislike. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not just what confirms my bias, but I have to find what's true. And so I think we're all going to be forced into this position to go, what's actually happening, not just what my favorite TV personality says on the left or the right,
right.
Yes.
or not just what this organization that I like says, or this says, but who's actually at the table, who's giving us the reality, mm-hmm. you know? And so that to me is one of those things where it's like, oh, I think we're going to come out of this much more unified as a nation. And I think that a lot of the people who are the hyper, what's the right word? I want to use the right word. that are the extreme, voices on both sides are going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going to calm down, because yeah. this is too big to just keep pointing fingers and yelling at the other person.
Yeah. Well, who can maintain exactly. that right? place of emotional level 10 constantly.
Yeah.
Can't some do people do.
Well, some people
I
do.
Don't know how, but they pull it off.
They do when we're not in a national emergency.
Right.
You know, they have that
yep.
energy.
It'll take right some now, time for them to wear out.
All of our but. Energy, you know, almost has to be protected in a way.
Yep.
And yep. We were talking with the college kiddos, I should say, that mm-hmm. are home last night. We were asking each other to go around and tell what changed for you from Friday to now.
Wow.
You know, because it's significantly it's been different. Fast.
In 1 week. Yeah. Not even 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Yep, tomorrow.
And our college kiddo, he was saying that it was the, you know, the sports being shut down.
Huge.
He watched one of the biggest soccer games, I guess, and there were only four ball boys, and there's usually a whole bunch of them, you know, and he was thinking, am I seeing this wrong? And then, you know, for us, it was really the, I don't know, it was the, family members that I have outside of here who are in a, you know, almost like a, they're having to stay inside their homes.
Yeah. And hot spots, we'll call them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You have a daughter that's going through
one
that.
In Sacramento and yeah. parents in Sonoma, mm-hmm. you know, in the Bay mm-hmm. Area, and mm-hmm. they are on very strict lockdown.
Come on.
And so yep. now our schools yep. are closed, and they're, and we want, you know, like you said, we want to be a little bit balanced with our response to it and calm. But we want to make sure that they aren't leaving, that they're staying isolated, and mm-hmm. how can we make sure that they're yeah. not falling through the cracks? And then the kids who need food. I guess that's the biggest thing for me as a mom.
Come on, it's come just, on.
Let's make sure the kids.
What there's three different posts that I saw. Uptown Bagel.
Yep.
Arlo's. And then what was it?
Pack River Store.
Like, then there may be more, but yeah. I'm just like. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right? And I have like, told Sandy, I was like, why before? And I just saw an article. It might have been somewhere out of Boston. But, you know, now the school bus drivers are delivering. They're still doing it every day where the schools are closed. They're just dropping off the stuff in the morning, the lunch and the breakfast for this many kids.
Wow.
Why are we not using...
I think Idaho State doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
I was reading about
and
that.
And I'm curious as yep. to, Mr. Little, why?
Sure.
Why?
Well, emergency declaration, we can change rules on the fly right now.
Yes.
You know, I think that there's, I think that Idaho being a lake, it's always late. Let's just, you
in
know,
anything.
Idaho
fashion,
is just late.
Yeah. Trends, music. Whatever. Yeah, music.
So we're late because we fashion. Like we got coronavirus late. Compared to what everybody else, like the whether or not we're testing and whether or not it's here, who knows? But right. as far as reported incidents, it was low. Tons of complaints about that. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that oftentimes we kind of, because we isolate as a state a little bit, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying anything pro or against that, but because of that mindset, you know, we don't. We're not forward thinking often enough, fast enough.
Right.
Sure.
And that's not a criticism. It's just an observation. So I think right now, because he did declare a state of emergency, the forward thinking entrepreneurial innovators need to get on the ball.
I
on
agree.
The ball.
Absolutely. Preach, brother.
Yeah.
The
Ooh, that felt good.
Yeah. The it's so true. You know, there's, it's on one hand, it's so heavy for our small business owners right
it
now.
It is, yeah.
And it's gonna be huge. And I'm excited to talk with Andrea, the director of the Bonner County Economic Corporation,
yeah.
Economic Development yep. Corporation. And but turning this into an opportunity to innovate is
yes.
is. You know, that is the forward thinking
yep.
is how, oh, right. I should have starting Friday when I started to feel this happening, I should have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
I should write that business plan out
yep.
and be ready to roll it out
awesome.
When I have to
that's
close.
So good.
You know what
yep.
I mean? The,
yep.
That's my thinking. But of course, well, I dream a lot and I'm a.
come
and,
on.
Okay.
And
that's
I
awesome.
Understand that I might not understand the practicality of it,
sure.
you know? And,
sure.
Hopefully Andrea can help us with some of that.
Yeah, Andrea's been great. She's just great to talk to, easy to talk to, easy to work with. So when it comes to innovation and the mindset around innovation, what do you think some of the big needs are going to be that we could already get the ball rolling for solutions? Obviously, you talked about getting the meals to the bus stops,
sure.
right? So maybe families... that are in a difficult
There's
financial
a
situation
yeah.
might be able to just go online to the school district's website or their app or whatever and say, yes, I want food delivery for my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that would be something that could be done pretty quickly.
I was not able to sit in on the interview with Superintendent Tom Alverson. Sure. But I know he had mentioned they were a survey, but they have information. I know they sent out emails.
Yep.
If you're needy, fill this out.
Which is great.
But a lot of these families that are needy can't check the emails.
They can't go to the library.
They can't go to the library. Yeah. And the libraries are closed now. Yeah. They can't.
So I heard back from Kay Peterson, Dave Miles, Sherry Hatley, Paul Anzalino he is the superintendent over in Priest River.
Okay.
And Jackie Johnson, Kathy Burgett, Jeff Penrose, and Casey McLaughlin, all principals from schools. Yeah. And they gave me their needs. They have not been approved to provide lunches. These guys have not been approved to provide lunches. And Jeff Penrose.
Deep breath. Sorry.
He is from LPO. I know when Jeff Penrose sent me this email, I had to stop the tears and focus. But, you know, he said that he doesn't have a way to contact his students right now. I think today he should be able to. And that's if they connect, you know, if they decide to connect. Does that make sense? And at that time, he's going to ask them to check in and assess their nutritional needs. But right now he has, you know, he says, you know, he's got his office food bank, if you will, and he's got granola bars and cup of noodle. And, you know, they're very specific. You know, Kay Peterson said between 70 to 90 is needed.
Meals.
Yeah. Dave Miles said 300 and they can only do curbside. Sherry Hatley, she's from Hope. And this one's interesting too. She said between 1 and 5 because most of her students can get them from Clark Fork. But she has one family in particular that she worries about who have 8 kiddos at home. And not only do they not have the capacity to come pick up lunch or anything, but they can't pick up their school packets either. So we need someone to be able in the Hope area to be able to deliver to this family.
Yep. Let me just say what's going to happen when we're done here. I'm going to not do my normal, because what I do is I time log every little piece of conversation and I put it in the notes so people can just click on it to watch whatever they want to watch.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, if you watch on YouTube, you click on the time and it sends you there. It doesn't do it on Facebook. Fix it, Facebook. But, you know, but they do it on YouTube. So I'm not going to put any of that on there, but I will put the timestamp for what the current needs are this conversation because people need to see this and hear what the needs are. So, and of course, you're going to be going live later today. Is that correct?
I don't know. We were going to go with a first responder, but I don't think the need's there yet.
I have not. First responder.
Well, maybe we do a log roll and we go live on your thing later. Just an idea. We'll see. But because you've got a unique platform with your group and stuff that you're doing right now.
Okay.
So with these needs, you got Hope, Clark Fork.
Clark Fork's good. They're fine.
Okay, good.
So we have actually in town, we have the high school.
Uh-huh.
We have LPO.
Okay.
We have the middle school who have needs.
Well, I know Kootenai and Farman are providing meals.
Yes.
For their students.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's no questions asked.
Right.
So
yeah,
they're not going to stand there and make sure you're. And we have, let's see, Jackie Johnson is from. She is from Southside, I think. Kathy Burgett is from Sagal. And Casey McLaughlin is from the middle school.
The middle school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we're waiting to hear back from Mr. Anzalino from Priest River. But I don't think they have anything going on either.
Okay.
And he's just really trying to gauge even how to find out. I asked them 3 questions. You know, one, do you have meals taken care of? 2, if not, how many do you need? And 3, is the school an option for
a pickup?
Yeah, just so that they didn't have to mess around with reading too much, you know. And he got back to me that he doesn't even he hasn't even assessed that yet. So wow. I'm sure that that's coming. Mm-hmm. But on the plus side, it's mm-hmm. only a week that we need to figure out for them mm-hmm. because then they'd be in spring break, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, I don't know.
Well, we might have to provide through spring break because of the level of people that aren't bringing in money.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, to feed families. So, yeah. you know, I, you know, my, my son's in Reading and, he manages, he's a shift manager at Planet Fitness and they closed the gym. He's got to file for unemployment. He's still got to pay rent. Still got all this stuff. He's like, ah, so, you know,
yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It
pretty
is.
Wild.
And that is, a big one coming up that, that we haven't even begun to mm-hmm. tackle yet, which is the economic impact of this. This is, it's going to be big. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah. ideally, yeah, yeah. you know, if we were to go backwards, which we can't, but ideally we can learn from this, you know, I'm going to put a plug in there for sustainable development
yeah.
of sustainability would be when these types of things hit, number one, we're already prepared for mm-hmm. what Karita and I are trying to do and you're mm-hmm. helping us with yeah. now. We already have a plan for it. We just roll it out. But also, it's not the blow wouldn't be as big
Correct.
In sustainability.
Yeah.
And what does that look like for us as a community moving forward, you know?
Yeah. So. Yep. So, Karita, what do you see happening with the first responders? What are you hearing in that kind of field?
Basically, the only thing I've heard really is that basic things are protecting themselves while still being able to serve the community.
People, yeah.
They are responding to certain calls. They're letting the medical, the EMS.
Handle those.
Okay. Unless it's absolutely necessary mm-hmm. so that they're then available to respond to
other,
whether it's fires, you know, yeah. other calls that are non-medically related. They seem to be pretty calm still. There's not obviously not panic in the
yeah.
what I've seen.
Except for the toilet paper aisle.
I know that, you know, they're limiting visitors in their stations
sure.
and they're taking yeah. precautions. I was actually signed up for a CPR first aid class that was supposed to take place on Monday. You know, they're canceling classes. Really just trying to, I don't want to use the term self-isolate, but they're really, you know, doing
yeah.
what they need mm-hmm. to do to stay on top of it so that That's they good. Can provide service. It's really scary even just looking at the news, seeing, you know, a lot of first responders, a lot of
are
healthcare,
getting
they're getting,
yeah,
yeah they're getting sick
yeah.
and they're getting hammered in a lot of
yeah.
larger areas.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's multiple yeah. cases in Post Falls.
Yeah.
Now of
yeah.
coronavirus
wow.
for, with first responders.
Yeah. So
That's a headline I read, just to be clear. That was just a headline. I don't know if
well,
it's
right.
true or not.
Haven't,
it was a headline.
Yeah, validated
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Wow.
I want to go back
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
yeah.
to the kids, to the,
yeah,
to
let's
the school
do it.
Thing. I was thinking about Jeff Penrose mm-hmm. and his particular challenge, which I think might be different than maybe some of the other schools. He's working with a group of at-risk kids
Correct.
That
yeah.
are... struggling. So my heart for these guys and having volunteered there in the past and just being in that environment, concerned that particularly that group of kids doesn't get too disconnected. And I think school is a connected place for them.
It is.
Not just
yep.
for the lunch, but there's emotional support. There's a lot that goes on there.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
one of my mullings or concerns
mm-hmm.
added in this is just really thinking about that group. And then also thinking about the stress of parents having their kids home,
yeah.
Interaction and stress level and
yeah,
aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we
yep.
in Bonner County, our county struggles with a lot of poverty, a lot
uh-huh.
of domestic violence.
Yep.
A lot of that is towards children under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also a concern of mine that I'm contemplating,
mm-hmm.
thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I think that some of the effects of this, at least I'm praying, that some of the effects of this will flip from being an increase of those types of calls to greater connection at home, really spending time with each other, really like choosing to, like, I'll just say, like, one of the worst days was hearing that the NCAA tournament got canceled for me.
You
I was
and
like,
me both with the I was basketball, like, dude.
The sports, the
I know,
sports.
Right? I'm like, what are we going to do?
I've not missed baseball since the baseball strike. And I'm like, what?
I know.
No baseball either?
I know. So and
we're
so,
soccer family.
Yeah,
we're going
so
the
you
same
guys
thing.
Are soccer fans. I really think that because the distractions of entertainment are being dampened, that we can maybe connect better at home, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, honestly, like, turn off all the crazy talk show news channels and just, like, spend time with each other.
Sure.
And because we don't have the entertainment, I turned on ESPN. I will say this. I turned on ESPN for about 3 minutes the other night, and it was just woeful story of what could have been from this team and what this team could have done in the tournament and what this team could have done in their high school tournament. And I'm like, this is depressing.
Super negative, yeah.
And I'm like, off, you know, because I'm like, oh, I got better things to do with my time. There's great things to binge on Netflix. No, I'm just,
yeah.
But
I actually had the time. I didn't, but I had the time to, I just ended up curling up with a blanket. I didn't.
Yeah, come on.
But I had the time to go for a walk yesterday.
Yeah.
And it
yeah,
was beautiful.
We went to the park,
and,
you know, Traverse Park, and just hung out for a little bit yesterday too. Yeah.
Yeah.
My house is really clean. I've been doing that.
And there is a bigger,
pray for us,
yeah. a bigger calling, you know, something, you know, in my life and my uh-huh. faith, it's God, but for others it might be just the universe or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Is also telling us something, you mm-hmm. know, that we something bigger, that we need to take a step back, mm-hmm. we need to breathe, we need to spend time together, mm-hmm. and it's causing us to reset some
it
things.
Is I think this is a huge reset that mm-hmm. we're going to receive. I'm okay. So people who know me know, like, I'm the eternal optimist.
Yes.
I can look at any negative situation and go like, oh, there's something really,
really
good that's going to come out of that. Like, oh, I'll find your silver lining, you know, like, I'll find it. Mm-hmm. But I really think that reset is a great way to view this. I also think that we need to view this as a community, like a war against an unknown, unseen enemy. Like, we need to view it like a war. Like, okay, so we only have 2 ventilators at Bonner General. Okay, how many small businesses and startups here have 3D printers? How many? 2, 3? Do we have 5?
Yeah.
You know what? We could print ventilators if BGH needs more ventilators. Mm-hmm. Who's gonna take up some of these innovative concepts? Like, who's gonna like rise to the occasion?
Absolutely.
Right. And,
yeah.
and I feel like, man, it was in battle. It was in like World War II. Everything shut down and we repurposed everything to make sure that the tyranny of Nazi Germany didn't take over the world.
Right.
Okay.
This is like a.
So we've got a tyrannical. This is a world enemy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are one of the only nations that, like, I love the fact that. Say what you want about the administration, but when they said we're going to drop state line requirements on doctors so they can do telemedicine over state lines,
I'm like,
yes, because yes. that means that I can have a phone call with an available doctor who's not here and have it be covered and have it be totally cleared. You know, I'm not going to get in trouble for doing something out of my network
right now.
Right. So I think, like, those types of things, like allowing for us to be more innovative, getting
yes.
corporations at the table saying, like, okay, here's the problems. We got to fix this. What are we going to do? I think the administration just this morning signed the emergency declaration for wartime. It was the same to repurpose industries to battle this virus.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
so they
fantastic.
Did that this morning. And I'm like, that's great news.
That is.
Because
huge.
We have innovators. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's stick Elon Musk and Bill Gates on this thing and see what happens, regardless
right.
of what you think about them politically. Brilliant minds.
Yeah, creativity
who can create,
at its
be
best.
Be creative and yeah. innovative. Like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we were talking last night also around the table. What's different for Germany? What did they do differently mm-hmm. that they have so many cases and so few deaths?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we you know, we just proposed could be, is that they do have, I forget, they have so many hospital beds per 100,000 people in their country. Mm-hmm. And that's all that's really missing here in this. Mm. And something so simple could save so many lives, you know, and,
as socialized medicine, something that simple. Sorry.
I don't know. So, for sure. Beds. Yeah. And, yeah. And that's the big thing. And that's so simple to me. Like, really, that's what's different.
Well, it's interesting I just saw that type O blood types have a higher resistance than type A.
Interesting.
Well, okay. Well, that's it. You know, like, I don't know how that works.
What's
the science behind that?
I'm curious.
Yeah, you know, you know, which type of populations have the predominance of the genetic receptor to the virus, right? Okay. So there's like Asians and males have an over, and I will post these articles down below that I read, that there's an over expression of the genes or of the receptors that actually attached to this virus more easily. And it's predominantly in Asians and males. Obviously it can happen to anybody, but just like there's interesting things that we're finding out, like malaria, like Bayer, the owners of Bayer Drugs just made 3 million malaria tabs because they're seeing success with malaria tabs combating coronavirus. So they just gave 3 million tabs to the U.S. government this morning. You know, like you're looking at these types of things that are going on and it's confusing. I have no idea if any of that's true or not.
Right.
But it's like, man, we got to get this mindset that
we have to try, we got to
go for it locally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got to go for it here. Right. Not just what's happening big.
Sure.
We're in this weird little place right now locally where we're just kind of sitting around isolating, wondering,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said the other day, when the storm's going to hit. And so it feels like it's not going to, you know, and I think that it will be. We've done a good job at having those who have gone before us give us good examples of how to prepare ourselves, and so it will be maybe a little bit less of an impact on us, maybe, I don't know. But it's going to impact us economically no matter what, because we're isolating, you know, because we're having to shut down. Even if the virus doesn't come here and devastate us with its with the health issue,
mm-hmm.
And so no matter what, life is completely changed for us. And even my kids are like, I remember doing this kind of stuff for Y2K, you know, we all do. And
we all do. Yep.
And
for those of you that can remember Y2K,
yes. I grew up doing this my whole life, you know? And so when this came around, I was like, I am not going to get toilet paper. I refuse, because I grew up doing this. I'm not going to do it again. And now here we are. And even my children are like, whoa, Mom, this is kind of strange.
Yeah. So you're saying you have leftover toilet paper stash from, you know, as a child, you don't
know. No, from Y2K. I just ran out of salt a few years ago from Y2K.
It's awesome.
Clearly that was a priority for me.
Salt has many purposes.
Yeah. Popcorn and salt. I could survive.
That's funny.
That's great. I think one of the things that I want to kind of maybe transition a little bit our conversation is to what kind of made you dive into sustainable development, and kind of what's some of the drivers around that.
Okay.
And what you're seeing with that. And we'll continue to tie it into what's happening in our world. But I think I'd love to hear a little bit more about kind of your passion around sustainable development.
Sure. I didn't know much about it before I stepped out from my career. And, you know, working in local government and the public sector of my career versus the private sector, which was I was in human resources, was very different. And in the private sector, you have the top, you know, CEO, if you will, who maybe started this business and know what they're doing and have a degree in business and have been doing it since the beginning, and they're going to be, and it's their baby. Whereas in the public sector, you know, your bosses are constantly changing, mm-hmm. and they don't have to have qualifications. They might not know what they're doing. And so it's very, and
what? I'm
going to take a sip. And it just is what it is. And yet they're very similar in that mm-hmm. they are a business. It's a business. And so when I stepped away, so that I could get some of my own formal education, my own qualifications, under my belt to kind of go along with my resume, that was in the back of my mind of, it would be nice to help our community to move forward effectively, so that every time a new person gets in office, we're not turning the boat a whole nother direction, because there are, you know, there's 400 wow. employees at the county who mm-hmm. are affected by the next guy who's behind the wheel, mm-hmm. And there's millions of dollars, you know. And so I think that's how I probably fell along that study line, and I came across something called Donut Economics, and it's this idea of an economic picture for the world and communities that is not based on growth, economics that are not based on growth, and it's not based on the GDP. It's more based on, you would create a metric, and this is why it's an ideal. It's going to take forever to get to, but you would take a metric and you measure you know, how we're doing economically on more than just growth. You measure it on the least of the people in your community. How are they doing? And if they're not, if
that's great.
And that's the metric you use. And so then I started, you know, that evolved into sustainable development and sustainable strategic communications and sustainability, blah, blah, blah. Okay. you know, I am a Christian, and it just is, and I'm a mom, and it just really, there's just something in me that wants to build, you know, work for something in this community that I'm proud to hand over to my children, or that that is working well for them as I pass the baton, and mm-hmm. And so that's really why I started. It's just, and it starts with conversation. It's amazing the power of community. I mean, conversation and communication. Mm-hmm. We need healing right now, mm-hmm. more than anything, and to be comfortable being uncomfortable with our differences. And that is where it has to actually start.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be able to, you know, to move forward in, you know, changing the whole economic picture for us, but it actually has to just start with healing and communication, and so that's why I started.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's my little passion for
I think there's some huge wins that we can find when we look at the bottom tier health of the community, because and I say bottom not negatively, it's just one of those, whether you're in the lower income or you have less opportunity via education or whatever the situation might be, I think that there's lots of ways to create sustainability. I think that dealing with the mindset of motivational, what I would call motivational poverty. Motivational poverty is oftentimes when we put ourselves in a position, or we're raised in a situation where our drive isn't necessarily there to build something. Not everyone is made that way.
Right.
No matter how hard you wish everybody was made to be go-getters and to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, literally, some people just are not wired
that way.
Yeah.
And so there's some, you know, really, I think, amazing ways to approach that without guilt, shame, condemnation, without, you know, slamming somebody because they don't have a better paying job.
Right.
Actually, you know, like there's a lot of things that need to happen in this community to kind of raise that bar a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a motivational piece that really needs to get dealt with. And I think that relationships mm-hmm. are so critical to dealing with overcoming these types of situations. So the strategic communications piece, I'm just giving you my 2 cents. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
we're just off the cuff. Yeah.
We'll take 10 cents. We'll take a full 10 cents. Ooh.
Give me that dime. So so I think that the communication piece is really big because a lot of people who have a lot of wealth are not great relationally.
Right.
They struggle with great relationships and deep relationships. I'm not saying that's the rule. It's a generalization. Mm-hmm. So, because I have great relationships with some really wealthy people
sure.
because the wealth isn't a thing to them.
Yeah.
Right. They love people. They care about people. But some people who are really just are afraid somebody's coming after their money or afraid, you know, like any of that, sometimes they can isolate and prevent real relationships from developing. So there can be relational poverty, right? It has nothing to do.
That's a big deal.
It has
around
nothing
here, I would
to
say.
Do. Really?
That, I think, yeah, I think there's a big gap there.
Yeah.
I think that relational poverty is certainly an issue around here.
Mm-hmm.
There is some, yeah.
And I think it's because we have such a diverse, again, not to be political, but that plays a big part in it,
it
I
does.
Think, in
yeah.
this area.
Yeah. Well, we've thank you, Jesus. We have positioned ourselves in this community to be on one team or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have allowed ourselves to fight for truth. And in this process of fighting, you know, whether or not you like the rhetoric of the president, whether or not you, you know, hate the ideas on the left or the right or whatever, we have lost our ability to see each other as real people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And I think this is that starting point for, this is why I'm glad everybody's at home for a while. Like, let's just be real with each other. And it's, I think that this relational poverty issue, I think in, comes down to, we've put so much emphasis on our differences.
Right.
It's true.
That is very
true. We put so much emphasis on why I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's not right and wrong. There is. It absolutely is. But how we get there, the way that we get there,
sure.
how we approach all of that, I think we have to have a people first mindset. Like, you have a heart, you have a family, you've got people that you love deeply, you care about people. You're not inherently selfish if you align on the right or the left. You're a person.
Right.
And so we need to just dial a lot of that back to this basic, like, oh, we can be in relationship with each other.
Sure.
And totally disagree. And be okay.
And do it in a healthy way that can still be productive.
Yeah, productive. That's what, that is exactly right. We need to be productive.
And productive, you can have productive disagreements that don't mean that I have to win you over to my side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I want to turn this on you for
all
a
right,
second.
All right. Yeah. Feel free.
What is the church's role in situation, like right now, what we're in right now, what would you say is the church's role in this
or position,
or do they have one even?
Been quiet.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we've got, I'll try and unpack my thoughts on this.
Okay.
Somewhat succinctly.
I kind of just threw that out.
It's all good. No worries. So, the first thing that I think is that, what the church should be, the church should be an absolute beacon of hope, that there is hope in whatever the darkness is. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. I think that the church, which is the community of believers, it's not just the buildings or the different denominational congregational gatherings.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've got this bigger C church, right? The mm-hmm. what we call universal church. And the universal church should not be bound to fear, should not be operating in fear, right? Okay. Because there's a little scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. So we shouldn't be operating out of fear as the big C church. We have a faith in a big provider, in a big God who gives us hope
right.
every day. So I think that that's one of those basics that the church should be focused on right now more than anything else, is that you don't have to be afraid and there's hope. I think the church has gone a little quiet in this season because mm-hmm. there's a fear in the church.
Okay.
So there's a fear in the church, and I'm just speaking generally, you know, not any church specifically, but just in general, Christians. I think there's a little bit of a fear to say, be fearless and have hope, mm-hmm. because some people interpret that as you can do whatever you want and you can take risks and you don't have to be responsible. Like to say, hey, you can have faith, not only that God, maybe that God heals. Maybe you can have faith that God's going to protect you, that you can, you know, that God's going to be with you and provide for you and all that stuff. But when it's hitting the fan and people are having a difficult time, it's very difficult to say, have faith, have hope, have joy, you know, have all these
Absolutely,
things.
Yeah.
Because the first and foremost, that has to come from within. Mm-hmm. And this is where right. the church has often looked so much at the external fruit of circumstance to determine what an internal fruit should be. So we look at what's happening around us to determine whether or not we should be at peace or whether or not we should be at joy or those fruits of the spirit.
That makes sense.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the church is being corrected mm-hmm. right now and being reminded that actually all of that comes from the depth of your relationship with God on what your fruit is internally. Mm-hmm. And that should bleed into everything that you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? That should be where you find hope. That should be where you're not afraid about your next paycheck, because you've got a really, like, if, you know, I think you've got a really big, good father who's going to take care of your needs because he promised he would. Doesn't mean nothing bad's going to happen. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose your job. It doesn't mean any of that. But I have a hope and a trust that actually can guide me and help me make the best decisions, because I'm not making choices out of fear. Mm-hmm. I'm making choices out of hope. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's that internal piece. So I think the church is being corrected in general yeah. on that a little bit. So, and that's not a critique on anyone, on any pastor, nothing at all.
No,
I just think
all
it's
human
just
too,
the,
like the rest
it's,
of
yeah,
us.
Yeah. And it's just
out.
The, it's just what I see happening big picture.
Sure. And there's like a lot, asked. There's a lot of mistrust with the church because it's been so convoluted with politics and it's not. And,
well, and I tell you, that's a really tough one because what we believe internally will drive our decisions externally. Mm-hmm. And anybody who says what you believe internally should not impact what you do externally is in la-la land. Like, it's just not a reality.
It's not basic human nature, first of all.
Yeah, like how you see the world, the filter that you put on the world, whether you believe in Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or are an atheist, that framework will help you determine what is right, what is wrong, what you choose, what you don't choose. That's just who we are.
Okay.
So there's no way to separate the two.
But interestingly, for me, when having, you know, been in the environment, I see that, you know, my personal values have nothing to do with whether this guy can do the job or not.
For real.
And
yeah.
so that's then, great. You know, so then when I go to vote, I'm like, who can do this job?
Yeah.
I'm very HRE about it, if you will.
That's
you
great.
Know, like very.
Yeah, come on.
Who has the qualifications to meet the role, you know?
Great.
And it's not true for every political office, though. That's true for our local county
Agreed.
Government.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily true at the state level. State level,
sure.
you're Sage and Heather are going to be representing out of their values
mm-hmm.
It's very different. You're not
it
running
is,
a
yeah.
business the way you
no.
are at the county.
Right, because the commissioners are more executive branch.
They're
right?
legislative.
They're legislative,
right,
but
yeah.
they operate as the executives over the county.
So if you're thinking in the private sector, like a CEO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So what's interesting to me, that I think we get a little mixed up on is that, you know, people can have thoughts outside of what their faith is, right? Like mm-hmm. people can often rationalize and come up with all types of great ideas and everything that have nothing to do with what their belief system is. So that we do have this little bit of a dichotomy where, like I said, your faith will drive so much of your perception, but it doesn't necessarily say that you're not rational or not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yes. And I think that's kind of what yes. you're uh-huh. kind of getting at. Like, actually, I can look at this rationally, and if I don't agree with them or their faith, I can still vote for them because I see I'm able to perceive their benefits or negatives or whatever.
Yes. You know. Yes. In thank
that.
You. Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of add that.
And there's a lot out there that really believes that Christianity, it goes right along with the current administration. Like it's the same thing. And here we are, you know, three people who,
mm-hmm. I'm a believer.
Yeah. Who are Christians. And I would guess, I don't know you very well yet, but I would guess that we're all very different in that.
Yep.
Most yep. conservatives call me a liberal mm-hmm. and most liberals call me conservative. So mm-hmm. I call myself, unaffiliated moderate, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's just like there's diversity in every faith and in every political
yeah.
View, it's true with Christianity, you know, we're all very diverse. Yep. and
very very
and
I'm a huge proponent for people to be able to have the freedom.
Right.
To be aggressively conservative Republican who's more libertarian than Republican. Right? Like anti-government versus just small government.
Right.
Right? Like yeah. that, I think this dividing line between libertarian is like not just freedom, but give it all. Like we want all the freedom versus say a, you know, small government Republican, which is really considered more of a moderate now. Mm-hmm. You know, in the current climate.
I don't know if so. I can have all the freedom because I'm a human
being, I think
it can be yeah. problematic. No, I'm just, yeah. I'm kidding.
Well, people. And you know, I don't think a lot of people would agree with anarchy, but I think a lot of people really kind of wish that's kind of the utopia is that the government got nothing to do with anything that I do, mm-hmm. which is okay. Like you can have that. We, unfortunately, you know, if that's the mindset we live in a world that has big government. Mm-hmm. You know, big systems, big bureaucracies. I'm all for, you know, cutting that stuff down and making it smaller. I would consider myself a conservative Republican who's into small government, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think that the less the government's involved, the better,
mm-hmm.
generally.
I lean more generally, that way, I mean, as well, personally. You know? Yeah. And, you know, but I do think that there's a place for it. And I do think that,
do
and, which that's mm-hmm. what it means to have small mm-hmm. government. And I also believe in, you know, the infrastructure that, I don't know if I've said this to Sage or not, but I know that the way Sage votes, you know, maybe someday I will say it to him, but
he'll hear you.
There's God. Hey,
he watches the show.
And Veronica, hi. I love you. and the infrastructure has to be in place, in my personal
sure.
opinion, before you can start voting down government. So, you know, if we're going to say, I don't think it's the government's place to be involved in education or medical care, that should be the community that comes around. Well, okay, well, let's get that infrastructure in yeah. place then, I guess, is what...
What's I think most difficult is that we do have structures in place. We do have things that we have to deal with, you know, from a governmental perspective. And mm-hmm. I had a good conversation with Sage about that. You know, I think that there's there is something around, you know, how do we move forward in reducing government if, you know, how do you do all of that when you have such a big bureaucracy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know, there's,
you learn to have a conversation yeah. all over again. It comes back to being able to communicate.
Yep.
None of what you guys are saying needs to happen is going to happen if we can't.
That's right.
Have a conversation. Yep.
Well, and here's one of the things that I'll say is when you have someone who's in government who is thoughtful enough and self-aware enough to say, you know what? I didn't ask enough questions about that issue when I went into this topic and when I was going for this. I didn't get enough information, so it died. But now I've got to go back and get more information and clarify and have more conversations in order to make this thing that he's working on happen. I appreciate that.
Right.
In a civil servant.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Like, I think we've lost curiosity.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, the here's, you know, going back to the church is how do we engage the church to make sure that that infrastructure is in place so that we can begin to untangle the bureaucracy and let that fall into those infrastructures or the non-church. So I am in a life partnership with someone on the whole other side. He's liberal, mm-hmm. and he's like, thinks the government needs to step in because people cannot be trusted. You know, sure. They just yeah. are.
Well, there's also,
and I appreciate that perspective. And so it's good to be with someone like that in my life where we can bounce such differing perspectives off totally. Of one another and really help. This is what it's all about. You know, that conversation and
yep.
being comfortable yep. with that.
Well,
difference.
Yeah, I think that we all operate from the perspectives and the things that we've grown and learned over the years through experience, through upbringing, through all of that stuff. And we're all fishing through it, trying to figure out, how do I do this? What's the best way to do this? How do I figure this out? You know, and I think we're all in this journey together, mm-hmm. you know, to try and figure out, okay, well, I don't have answers to what does the church do yeah. in the sense of dealing with that. I know that for me personally, I always want to have hope. Mm-hmm. Like, and I always want to say, you know what? Though there's some bad things happening and some evil coming into this situation, I know in a moment it can be turned around for something great. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's just how I kind of, that's just how I'm wired, I think. But
that's great. I'm not naturally wired that way, but I through life experiences, I am. So like, mm-hmm. you know, when 2008 happened, I had a residential construction business, and we were building a spec house, and so it was painful. It was very painful, and
2008 was rough for that.
It was terrible, and
I was in mortgages,
and I just kind of like, you know, my former husband and I at the time just kind of like, were devastated. Mm-hmm. But now this time around, I'm more like you, because I could be devastated, or I could say, hey, what's the opportunity yeah. in this, and how can we innovate? And all right, yeah. I'm not going to let this get me down again, you yeah. know, and
totally.
And yeah. let's take care of the kids and the uh-huh. elderly. And
that's right. That's right. I think that, and this is, I'm hoping that individuals throughout our community, Christian, not Christian, whatever, just choose to be bold in their mercy and choose to be bold in their ability to serve those who need it. Mm-hmm. This isn't a time to bicker about whether or not they deserve it.
Right.
They need it. Let's step up to the plate and figure out how to make it happen, mm-hmm. whether it's for young children whose families are struggling.
Right.
Or whether it's an elderly couple that's struggling because they don't know how to get to the store right now and they're afraid to go in. I was so excited to see Safeway says, and some of the stores were like from 7 to 9 a.m. It's high risk people only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if you're stay out, we're only going to be, you know, we're going to open with an absolute clean store and they can come in without any of the other junk from anyone else and they can, those high risk populations can go in. I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. because that is somebody in need who has a need and they need a safe place. And so I think all of us need to be fighting to provide those opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and so you guys, moment. With your voice, is so helpful. You know, being able to do your live feeds, you know, that you're doing now. Tell me how it's set up on Facebook. What you guys got going right now?
I do the most of the talking.
Yeah, she does talking. She does all the others. Well, and you also do behind the scenes, behind all the sorts scenes. Of research. But the the tech is just like it's like this. You know, we're in actually in a studio set up in a home.
Awesome.
And last fall when I did the election coverage, what I would do is I would I had a nice camera. It was going onto my SD drive, and I would put it on. What is it? Adobe.
Yeah.
Your Premiere. Gal would probably know. Adobe yeah. Premiere or something. And you know, just make it sleek and clean. I didn't take anything out of it.
Yeah.
And then get it uploaded. Now this time around, we've just been so urgent that we've done away with that and just doing the phone straight through. Mm-hmm. But the quality is really, I'm rethinking that. The quality is really just not.
And please bear with us, everybody, yeah. because we are certainly
we're learning. Like, we're not journalists, yeah, and we're
totally
just,
yeah. That's
we're
great.
Jumping and figuring mm-hmm. it out. But
mm-hmm. yep, yeah. yep. Well, I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
So it's set up on Facebook mm-hmm. through Inland Northwest.
So, okay, I'll tell you how the business part works. Is that what? Thank you, Karina. So we are a corporation, Woman Activated, and that's my consulting
awesome.
Business. And that's consulting for mamas. And what that is really, you know, we have midwives come alongside us for about a week or two, and then they just let us go. But mothering, I did not have any equipping for mothering, wow. and I just jumped into it. And,
wow, that's so cool!
Bless my children's hearts. They
hey, come on, every first generation child has yeah. to deal with parents who didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, bless their hearts. And
my oldest still likes me. Thank God.
And so I'm really trying to create a master class for moms to know what their child's going through in each phase of development, to know. That's to keep their own womanhood intact because at the end of the day, they're going to be left with themselves. Their kids are going to be gone, you know,
for real,
that kind of thing. So that's the corporation. Mm-hmm. And then under that we have a DBA, which is Inland Northwest for Sustainable Development.
Okay.
And then, so if you think of it as like the North Idaho, you know, hippie version of NPR, then Educated Debauchery is a show on that.
Okay.
So
how'd you come up with
the name? It's a little bit complicated.
I knew that question was coming.
I was just waiting.
So I love her answer to it. She came up with the name.
I had no doubt.
and so listen, I know the word's a little strong. Okay. I know. And it has. And yes, there is a meaning. People are going to look it up and they're going to go,
what?
But just how I looked at it, mm-hmm. I'm like, we're just going to flip this word. It's going to be Karita's Urban Dictionary for a minute. No bad words, I promise. Okay. So I thought, okay, the traditional meaning of the word is illicit, indulgent, all of that. Okay, well, nowadays how I feel is people being informed and educated and thoughtful and thinking it through is illicit mm-hmm. and looked at as... oh, that is not okay. That is not socially acceptable.
To be in.
Cover that up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right? I just want my own opinion.
And so, well, I don't that's want just to be left with my own opinion, no, which I mean, can be squirrely.
No, I mean, that's
But I want to be informed.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to be educated.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I know it's questionable. I've had a couple of people go, including my ex-husband, who finally saw it on Facebook, and he's like, oh, the name's kind of annoying. And I go, okay, I hear that. But there's a reason why I was trying to explain to him.
Yeah.
It is free thinking and having your own thought process and not just kind of going along with the hysteria mm-hmm. is illicit. So her partner came up with the slogan, the revelrous path to what was
to
it?
To sensibility.
To sensibility.
Oh,
because we're going to.
That's fun.
We're going to.
I'm glad you added a tagline. That's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm like.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure what the name. I'm like, this is a good little interview. I don't see debauchery.
Well,
or, you know, like there's some education.
Well, and
but,
that part you know. Of that, and you know, this is terrible, terrible way to start branding because we started in a pandemic, you know, and
oh no, and that's so there's great not really much
debauchery going on.
But you get, we're gonna have we're gonna a rain whole some people slew of Corona babies coming out of this.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
and that's another so prediction. We haven't really been able to just have fun and get the conversation going because it's been such a serious start. So
we
launched in a way that's really terrible for branding if you want to understand educated debauchery, but we had to do it. So
yeah, that's great.
And also my thinking with the name was, again, we're all inclusive at educated debauchery. I wanted to include other people. So I've seen on the Facebook page, some people have commented and they're like, that seems worthwhile. We need to check into that, probably just because of the name. So then they're not thinking it's uptight. They're not.
Totally.
People are just like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Well, it means, hey, you guys, cover that up. Cover up your free thinking or your ability. Hide it. That's not socially appropriate to be informed. So,
or, you know, people tend to have people. I tend to have my own, like you said, my own biases, and we get comfortable with them and we don't want to let go of them. Yep. And so it is a little bit debaucherous to kind of open up and get educated and let those, keep those biases, but be open to perhaps let them go.
Mm-hmm. So,
show me your mind. I'll show you. Show me. How is it? Show me
your mind. I'll show you
my mind. No, yes. Well, I mean, it's the same. It's the same thing. Are we editing this at all?
No.
Okay, just checking everybody. Oh, no.
This is way too good to edit.
Well, and also, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but also, I want people to get an idea.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Cool.
We want to see their minds and share ours with them. Mm-hmm. So.
We'll start wrapping it up. Because this has been a really good conversation and it's, I like lots of rabbit trails and touching on different topics, whatever it is. So, I really enjoyed it. One thing that I want to, look at is what's your schedule? Like how often are you posting? What's your, what's your plan for that? Because, I noticed I had a conference call yesterday that I was jumping on and 10 minutes before I saw you come on, I'm like, I'm going to watch this real quick. And then it would I got to get off and go, but
we're kind of on a squirrel schedule right now. Squirrel,
okay, cool.
Like that. Oh,
all right. Yeah.
So it's really just
turn the notifications on in the group and people will see it.
And it's Mondays is what it's going to be. But, but we're just every day right now as we see needs, getting, putting that survey out there, which we've only had a couple people respond to.
But I haven't seen it yet. Okay.
I have a feeling that once coronavirus hits our community, more will fill that out. So it's been every day so far, but it really, when there's not a pandemic going on, it will be Mondays.
Okay, great.
Mondays are the days that I could commit to.
Oh, good for you. So that's good.
Monday works for
right. Good. Well, we film all throughout the week, and then we try to post on Wednesdays.
Generally,
but I'll post this one tonight just because it's good and it's timely with the
You're
needs.
You're working so hard. Goodness.
Yeah, thank you for what you're doing,
It's all good,
too.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't, one of the things I'll say about sustainable development is that I think that there's going to be a big shift in how communities operate and are developed in the future to allow more multi-generational, to allow, I think the form of construction will change a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think we're about to see that industry completely disrupted in the next 5 years because we've just had one basic model for 50 plus years on basic model. There's been huge advances, technology, skill, how things are built and all that kind of stuff, but there hasn't been a major disruption to the building industry. And we might be in the middle of it, who knows? But I think that we're gonna see some big changes in that. And I think this concept of, and I think it will be more more focused on livable design in how homes are being built. I think we'll also see, because, you can't,
That's a whole nother conversation.
It's just and so I'm
relational social for functionality and
I'll give you a book. I'll give you a book. Okay. A friend of mine who's an architect in California wrote a book this last year called Livable Design.
Okay.
And it's excellent. Okay. It just stirs some things up in you.
Yeah.
Can we get that book? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's online. Livable Design by Jeffrey DeMure. Okay. DeMure.
Okay.
In fact, I'll probably end up doing a Zoom breakdown with him to talk about it
at
some point. So yeah, it's really good. And I think that the form of land ownership is going to change for most communities because it's no longer going to be sustainable or affordable to maintain the current model. Either that or we won't have any free space left.
Right.
You know, because we are growing and in our community, we're just sprawling, which is
we like it, we have space, but let's not fill it all up, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean it like
it's
that.
Tough.
But
it's tough. Hard. It's tough. And, you know, want to maintain the character of the communities. But I think that in the next 5 years, we're going to see a dramatic shift in what development looks like
and what, you know, what is our what is the balance in that, because you know, like my nephew, he's a forester, he's the other one who we want to get up in podcasting as well. We want
cool.
three new shows. I'll put a little plug in there. One's an outdoor adventure, one is Karita and I, and one is my nephew and niece, and she's Mrs. Coeur d'Alene 2019.
Whoop, whoop.
And he's a forester, and he said that, you know, and here's where I like having all different sides, because he's very conservative, and he says that, you know, the best maintained forests are those who are maintained, you know, in the private industry. I mean, you want to stop fires
take a sip. Some or, people wouldn't agree with that. I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And but he's a professional who's been in the industry for years and knows what he's talking about. And when it comes to fire prevention, you know, the most fires that they have are on federal lands.
Yeah.
However, like my partner brought up, he said, yeah, but that's because there's more federal land. So, you know, yep. that let's
Come on,
talk.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah,
talk.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
and good. That's what this, that's what we're doing.
I grew up, Democrat, and thought, you know, was raised in Spokane and in the public school system there. The only presidents we ever heard about were Democrats. I didn't even know of a single name other than Abraham Lincoln of a Republican president. And I grew up under Ronald Reagan. I didn't even know like he was a Republican. I only heard of Democrat. So that's what
you knew. He was an actor.
And gullible idiot at best. Right.
Oh,
that's what I understood, growing up, in the 80s. It was very interesting because, you know, when I moved to North Idaho, I'm like, man, there's all this pro timber propaganda. Like, because I didn't have a grid for the timber industry at all. All I had heard was that trees, you know, people who chop down trees are bad. That's all I heard growing up.
Right.
You know, so it was very, it's like, oh, of course, now I'm like, whoop, you know, I've kind of flipped over to a whole different kind of mindset.
Chopping
but I've had
down
to
your own trees now.
I know.
I've
had
do
to educate
not
myself
have an opinion.
A lot.
I just listen to the experts and
I figure,
questions.
You know, I'm just going to put a warning on this episode that we will poke your favorite issue today, whether it's politics or religion or trees or what. Like,
just
answering
questions.
Just be warned.
I'm not suggesting
it's coming.
Any topics. I'm just sitting here.
Just be warned.
This one I am not an expert on, but I do want to get to the solution.
Well,
to
I think
fire
it's great.
You know,
yeah, I think it's great to have more of those conversations. It's
good. I love what Idaho Forest Group is doing. I do love that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, when trees burn, they lose money.
Right.
That's
yeah,
a whole different.
And when they have disease, they lose money.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yep.
Well, so. Being married to a firefighter and just kind of understand thinking about fire and how it works and.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning, and my knowledge is limited, but there's things that could be done to help that.
I agree.
That aren't thought through, I think, well enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, this show is not here to tickle anybody's ears. We just want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so appreciate it.
In my head, I'm thinking of everybody who's going to be like, Sandy, why did did you say that?
Well, see, that's why we get you in this cozy little studio. Yeah. We put on some dim lights.
It's very disarming. Thank you, Chris.
You forgot there were microphones in a camera. I'm like, that's so great.
My nephew said it. I didn't say it. Oh, I don't know.
Well, and then here's the deal. You're entitled to have your opinion.
Absolutely.
I think we already covered this, as long as it's respectful.
Yeah.
I don't.
And
yeah, we're not bashing anybody.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. And we're entitled to have our own free thinking process.
Yep.
In a way that's not
damaging. And if you don't agree with us, come on our show or Chris's show.
Go to Chris's show.
No, come on. I want you on my show, too. Like,
I didn't do it.
No, we welcome
it. Because I don't show up with an agenda.
Yeah.
I'm not here to score political points or convert people. Like, I just want to find out where you're at, and I'll give you my thoughts, and let's talk about it. So that's great. You know, anybody. And I have put out there multiple times, who do you guys want to hear from? Who do you want to see? And so one of yours came up on one of them. Everyone else, I have reached out to everybody that's been suggested. If they're not on the show, you go call them and say, get back a hold of Chris and get on the show.
So, okay, gotcha. There
you
go.
So, and if you guys have people that you want to recommend to shoot over, send them over.
And part of the reason I want to do my niece and nephew is because they are probably the other side of the spectrum from me and Karita. And so I want to bring all sides, to something.
That's
great. And so they will give, a balance to Karita and I hope, because we tend to be debauchers.
We're here to bring balance to the force.
Balance to the debauchery.
Yeah. And then the outdoor adventuring is really to, it almost like every time I watch, the little documentary we did at the beginning of this of the Kokanee, it's just like relaxing and it reminds you what we all love about this place.
Yeah, come on.
So that'll be fun. Yeah.
That's great. So how do people get in contact with you? What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions, information, want to be on your show?
I'll let my IT person.
You can email me, my email is so long. Sorry, guys.
So if I was going to search you on Facebook, what would I search?
Oh, you could search Inland Northwest for Sustainable Development.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Or Educated Debauchery, which is under that if you want to be a guest on the show or you have a suggestion.
Great.
We like suggestions also. Mm-hmm.
So, as I recommend people do with the Bonner Breakdown, if you like the show, share it. Follow, like it, subscribe. Make sure if whatever your method is, get notifications, especially with live streams because, I hate when I go to my phone and I missed it. And I'm like, oh, that thing will be back later. I'm like, I missed it. So I'm always, when I get
live stream, I always share it afterwards. So you can go back to it. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then, then email me even. So we're a multimedia platform, but we are also project based. So those two things. So definitely email me, Sandy at InlandNorthwestSustainableDevelopment.com. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, awesome. I think we're good.
Thank you, Chris, for having us.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Anna Lee, for helping us.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. There, give her a plug, too.
Yeah. Come on, she rocks it. She rocks it. So, great. And any last questions?
No, but thank you so much for also stepping up for to come alongside us and help us with what we're focused on right now.
Your encouragement is...
Go get it.
Welcomed. Thank you.
Go get it.
Thank you.
Don't let the distraction slow you down.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, all right. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Bonner Breakdown. Special thanks to Ting and BCHA for sponsoring this show. For more shows or to be a guest, please visit BonnerBreakdown.com. Have a great day.